Hey, Jackets fans, hockey is back, and there's never been a better time to fuel your fandom. Fans who purchase a ticket plan before October 4th will be entered to win gas for a year, courtesy of Marathon. Visit bluejackets.com/fandom for full details.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Welcome to the Buckeye Extra Football Podcast. I think I have that right. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock Eastern time.
But we care about you.
Yeah, this has been a bridge on the River Kwai weekend for some of us. Rob Aller here with Joey Kaufman and Bill Rabinowitz, the esteemed beat writers.
What did you just reference?
We don't already. Junior. Come on,
Bridge
Junior.
On the River Kwai. You've heard of it? You've seen it, right?
No. What is this?
Sir Alec Guinness. William Holden. Don't waste our time.
Is this some folklore
thing?
This
is a guy that only, that basically...
All right, anyway.
Never mind. We'll move on. It's a movie.
Joey.
That's all we got to say. Joey is a little...
forward to when he turns 21.
Anyhow... We're joking about this because what we saw was the biggest joke of a game in some ways in terms of Nebraska. Final score was
48-7.
48-7. It could have been seemingly.
Name your score. But I do think it was more. This is Bill Rabinowitz. I think it was more that Ohio State was really, really good than Nebraska was bad. Obviously, they weren't great. But I didn't think that this was just an incompetent team. I thought this was a Nebraska team that just was overmatched. And I think it's, most games are lost rather than won. I think this is a game Ohio State just won right from the start.
Buckeyes are very good. We'll get right to it. Are they best team in the country, Joe?
I think if I was voting, I might vote them number one because...
You don't have a vote, though, do you?
I don't. I voted in the AP poll last year, and you don't want to be an AP voter on the West Coast because the games end so late there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to turn in your poll so early on Sunday. It doesn't really work with the sleep schedule. But if you look at the other two teams in the country that they're competing with, Alabama and Clemson,
Oklahoma.
Clemson needed a fluky two-point conversion play to go wrong to hold on against North Carolina. Alabama's defense, to me, is really flawed. You look at a lot of their games. South Carolina scored a bunch of points against them. To me, Ohio State is a very complete team. If you look at the other teams, Oklahoma's a great offense, but there are questions about their defense. Ohio State played Nebraska, which was 24th nationally in total offense, and held them with 7 points. Scored 48 unanswered points. Nebraska didn't score until the end of the third quarter. So to me, Ohio State is arguably the most complete team in the country. I'd give them probably my number one vote. I think you'd have to think about maybe LSU or Georgia because at least they have the best wins. LSU's beaten Texas. Georgia's beaten Notre Dame. But just looking at these teams, Ohio State is a very compelling case. I'd vote them number one.
I can't argue that. I don't think I'd put them number one. We had this discussion on the car ride from Lincoln back to Omaha, gorgeous Omaha, Nebraska. I know some people believe, Bill, Joey, throw everything out every week, start new. Who's the real best team? I'm a little more old school, which is until you beat the Giant, bring the Giant down to size, the Clemson, the Alabama,
That's just stupid.
It's not stupid. It's the way it worked for years, forever.
You judge everything.
It's not stupid. I don't believe it's stupid. Why are we even talking about the AP poll? Now, that's stupid. It means meaningless.
It's existence since 1936.
So what? It has nothing to do with the committee right now. Well, the committee decides everything.
When the committee gets together, in I guess the first week of November this year, I think, they're going to look at the body of work. They're not going to go, well, we kept Clinton.
No, I bet they will. If you think politics doesn't play into this whole thing, you're naive. But that is what you guys are.
So. The only reason... we're a little tired and maybe our...
Grumpy.
Let's say a quick commercial break and...
Yeah, we'll take
maybe you'll tell
you
some
know
stories
why? Because we're going to take a quick commercial break for our fantastic sponsors, which is Rosati Windows and
Raising Cane's Chicken.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We'll be right back.
When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you. but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One, such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at rosatiwindows.com.
And we're back from lovely Omaha, Nebraska, in a hotel room that has the highest ceilings I have ever seen. Yeah. Joey's in this hotel room, and it's like you could fit like three hotel rooms into this one hotel room.
A loft.
It's beyond, yeah. You could do a lot with this. Either that or I'm just seeing things because the travel this weekend.
I just want to finish the one thing about Ohio State and the polls or whatever.
Yeah.
Real quick. The only thing that Ohio State is lacking is a marquee opponent. That's it. You know, if they haven't played anybody.
Right. And until they do.
Until they do.
We were talking on the ride from, you know, I remember the 2006 team. Middle of that season, they were killing everybody. People said this could definitely be the greatest team in college football history. Then they got torched by Michigan. The defense was exposed and torched by Florida. So, and those were two teams that were legitimately good that year. And so until they come up against, I would say, a Michigan State defense will be a test. That's coming up.
Sure.
I think Wisconsin will be, I think it'll be a legit test.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And then I've said all along, my team, as Joey knows, has been Penn State. I just have a feel about Penn State. Not that they're in Ohio State's, you know, category or class, but I think they've got talent.
Well, they've played Ohio State. I mean, to say they played them tough is an understatement.
Right.
Ohio State's had to pull it out the last couple of years. Obviously, they lost Barkley 2 years ago, and they lost Trace McSorley this year. But they, I mean, what they did to Maryland, I guess Maryland's been exposed as a fraud yet again, but 59-0 is 59-0.
They are a fraud.
The problem is Maryland scored all its points of the season in week one and week two.
Against Nova.
They emptied the playbook against Syracuse. And ever since then.
That's it? One trick pony?
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, enough about Maryland.
Enough about Maryland. Rutgers, Rutgers. Oh, my gosh.
Cure for what ails Michigan, that's for sure. At least for a week.
That is going to be. Housegate, this could be Cumberland.
They might score 200.
They could.
I mean,
I think they could.
They have respect for Chris Ash and compassion for Chris Ash.
Yeah.
But if they, like,
passion
if Ohio State
might be the better word.
Needed to score 150 points, they might be able to do it.
They're going to get Chris Ash kicked.
I don't. I feel like we shouldn't let the cart get a little too in front of the horse.
This team. You put them number one.
I know, but
you've already made them number one. I don't have to worry about
it. Are you surprised that the Nebraska game was this much of a blowout? Because all our scores were 48-24, something like that in print, 42-24. I don't think anybody expected Nebraska to be shut out until late in the third quarter. I mean, the Nebraska fans hold balloons for so long.
That was the most impressive athletic achievement by anyone in Nebraska, was holding onto the balloons for three quarters.
Oh, my gosh. They let them go when they score, right?
It's like a basketball game where you go to a college basketball game and the fans stand until the team scores and you sit down. But at worst,
well, Nebraska's fans in basketball probably have to stand a long time, too.
And so their football fans hold the balloon and then they release it into the air. When they scored, they had to wait for a couple hours.
Yeah, a couple at least.
I expected a little earlier.
Daddy,
release.
Charles, please let go of the balloon.
Here's the deal. We all had Ohio State kind of scoring in the same. I think I had them with 42 points.
I think I had the 48.
Whatever. You were wrong on the other one.
Cool story.
But I had Nebraska scoring 20, and I thought that was too many. I thought they'd get like a cheapie at the end. It turns out, you know, I kind of had that right, other than giving them the cheapie. So Ohio State's very impressive. I would put them probably number two behind Alabama because of what happened with Clemson today. But
that's fair.
I would have no problem if somebody put them number one. So, Bill, where would you have them?
Bill used to vote in the AP.
I had it for a few years, and that was one of the smartest decisions I made, was to get rid of it.
Yeah, we haven't talked about LSU, too, so...
Yeah. LSU didn't play today, right? Georgia didn't play.
Right.
I would probably have a hard time putting Ohio State one just because of the competition.
Right.
So, you know, maybe Alabama, maybe LSU, but are they right there? And, you know, again, it really doesn't matter. They're what matters is they look every bit like a playoff team.
I mean, they do. They do. I thought they were going to be in the playoff from early on, and you guys thought that too, I think, or at least had potential. Just getting to this game, though, was a challenge for me.
I don't think we've heard this story.
Oh, the story is...
Well, the listeners haven't.
They haven't heard this story. Let's just say this, that I swore off 6 years ago. I swore off ever flying into O'Hare Airport in Chicago again because I went in there. It was just a disaster, an ice storm. I spent two nights in the airport, then had to drive from Chicago to Columbus and backstory, 11-hour drive. So I was never going to do it again, and I did it this time. I thought,
why did you go through O'Hare? You have to know better than that.
Well, I think it wasn't all my call. Totally.
Do you want to spend more time with?
No. So anyhow, we got delay after delay after canceled flight after canceled flight. Spent all day in Columbus Airport and then all night practically in O'Hare. And then finally did make it to Lincoln a couple hours, 3 hours before the game. So it ended up okay. But man, sometimes you wonder if you just get in the car and drive.
It's a very Midwestern thought of you.
Yeah.
Get in the car and drive ten hours.
You know, that's what we do. We're tough. We're tough minded. We're tough folk. Oak folk.
Kind of like the Ohio State offensive line.
A little segue. Joe, it was your segue, so go.
Well, I gave our esteemed sports editor Ray Stein the headline suggestion. Ohio State parts the Red Sea. Some of those holes that J.K. Dobbins was running through.
Single hand clap here. One-handed hand clap for you, Joe, on that one.
No. He was going. Those were some big holes.
You're talking about the O. Okay. Talk about the O-line.
Well, the O-line opened up some big holes. That's where the party in the Red Sea reference came from. You get it? Because Nebraska's fans are all...
We get it.
That wasn't the issue.
That wasn't the issue.
Well, I wanted to make sure people got my joke.
We got it.
Played with a new... First time they haven't had the same line. Josh Allaby played for Brandon Bowen at right tackle. Didn't miss a beat. I mean, they ran left, they ran right, they ran middle, they ran wherever they wanted to. Master T comes in, he runs through big gaping holes too, Justin Fields. This was the protection, too.
I mean, you're talking about the running, which was – I mean, Justin Fields, just when he does get sacked, it's on him because he holds the ball – typically, he holds the ball too long. Again, a very impressive performance by the O-line. And the way things fell tonight, the way I saw it, was that even the things that didn't work perfectly, like in the big picture, worked perfectly for Ohio State. In other words, they get stopped. Well, it gives them a chance to practice their field goal. Right, I mean, they never have to kick field goals, but they're going to have to at some point, probably. So Hobble comes in there and kicks, and they have an injury on the line to Bowen, and a guy that they wanted to get in there more, gives him a little experience. So it's like fallen perfectly for this team so far.
And then let's talk about the defense, which was stifling. I mean, Jeff Okuda finally got an interception last week, made two great ones. One he just ran the play, Chase Young harassed Adrian Martinez out of the pocket, and then he made a beautiful break on the ball and basically stole the ball from the receiver and then caught the second one on his back.
Lying down on a job, as I said.
That's good.
Yeah.
Jordan Fuller had interception. It all starts with the pressure. Chase Young and everyone else, when you harass the quarterback, that's how you get interceptions. And Jeff Halfley talked to him after the game, and he said all three of those interceptions came on plays where they played zone coverage.
Did you use that in your story?
Which one?
That all three interceptions
came on. I did not, because we were in a little time crunch.
Yeah, we were in a little time crunch. Well, but now you know. So you know something that no one else knows, listener. Ers. We hope there's more than one listener. Singular, plural, take your pick. Go ahead, Joe. Late, folks.
I'll piggyback on what Bill said, but it all starts with the pressure.
Is that legal? Oh, go ahead.
Jonathan Cooper was back tonight, played defensive end, started opposite Chase Young. That was important. But in general, to me, like Nebraska was supposed to was going to get theirs on offense. They were going to put up points. They were going to make plays. But Adrian Martinez at one point had a negative passer rating during the game. Right. I mean, he was stifled. We wrote stories during the week. Adrian Martinez did get an Ohio State offer. It was kind of this intriguing subplot how he ended up at Nebraska, and you had this matchup between quarterbacks, between Justin Fields and Adrian Martinez, the two best signal callers in the Big Ten. And maybe you think it's going to be a little of a back-and-forth duo, and it wasn't remotely like that at all.
Martinez had Chase Young in his head. He looked stressed, rushed.
It's called being human.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. It's reality.
He completed more passes in the first half to Buckeyes than he did to Cornhuskers.
Oh, that's a good stat.
Three interceptions, two completions.
Yeah, he had 47 yards passing.
47.
Nebraska, you don't win games 47 yards. Unless you're the Oklahoma mid-70s wishbone, you're not getting it done.
The best success that Nebraska had on offense was late in the first quarter where they decided to basically scrap their spread offense and Scott Frost, I felt like, had his playbook left over from the 90s and Tom Osborne and decided to use that. And they started lining up in the I formation with
power
two
eye.
Backs.
It's amazing.
There was one play where Adrian Martinez gets the snap under center, goes jabs one to his right, then spins around and does this little runoff tackle, which looks like kind of a QB misdirection option play, and they were moving the ball.
You're way too inside football at 1 a.m. for me on that.
Well,
I agree with.
You're nodding. You're nodding.
I'm nodding.
Nodding off.
I'm nodding off and nodding. Yeah, well, it was. When's the last time you saw a fullback in college football on a fullback play? It just doesn't happen.
Well, Michigan fumbles.
It's
a defensive line.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Well, Wisconsin. What do they call that? The elephant? I think it's something like the elephant play or some ridiculous thing.
But it threw them off. Ohio State wasn't expecting it at all.
Yeah,
and then they called timeout.
Yes.
And,
good timeout by Ryan Day.
Ryan Day called timeout and talked to Greg Maddux at the game. He said Ryan Day is the one who called that. He could tell we were confused.
He asked them if they wanted to call a timeout.
And he said yes, and they did. And then I think there was the next play. Martinez throws a little lob pass too far, tips off Wandale Robinson's hand. Jeff Okuda makes the interception on his back.
He should have caught it.
Maybe.
Okuda makes the interception on his back, and that was basically the game.
Yeah.
Because they said they started to make adjustments after that timeout, and then they immediately throw the pick, and then they get more time to kind of to re-scheme things. Ohio State also scores on the next drive. They went up a field. So they're up 17-0. And Nebraska falls into a bigger hole, and you can't really run the triple option when you're down three scores.
Do you know what the I formation power, when they had a little success, do you know what that was? That was Miami being up 5-0. That's what that was. That was Miami being up 5-0. Ooh, it was nothing in the big picture.
They couldn't sustain it.
They couldn't sustain it. They're not good enough. Talent disparity.
Well, they went away from it, too.
Well, they had to. There was nothing. Ohio State closed it down. You're not going to play power eye again in today's age, you know.
Not for long.
The only teams that can really run and beat you, as they've shown the last, is Alabama's been able to do it against Ohio State a little bit. And like Navy, the triple option, Army, and that type of stuff. Otherwise, well, I guess Maryland last year did a pretty good job, right? But that was a different defense.
This was telling. Jeff Halfley said after the game when he was asked about, somebody mentioned about last year's defense, and obviously he was not a part of that.
He didn't like to talk about that.
But he said, last year's over. We don't need to hear that ever again. And I think he's right. I mean, what was last year was last year. This is a completely different.
This is how it works, listeners. The national guys that show up, the national writers who show up, love those guys. But the national guys show up to these big games and they ask the questions that have been asked 100 times by the local media, like comparing to last year.
Right.
The coaches hate talk. Halfley can't stand talking about that. And they feel very bad about like bad mouthing the previous regime.
Well, especially Halfley.
Oh, right.
Because he's a Greg Schiano disciple.
Right. Yeah. So, but
that's his guy.
We haven't really talked about that. Just quickly, this coaching staff we talked about Ryan Day. Ryan Day, very meticulous, very detail oriented. He's the right guy at the right time for this team. I think Halfley brings both those guys, Ryan Day and Halfley bring this NFL vibe.
Right.
Madison, was in the NFL.
I think Madison is like an older Luke Fickle in a way, in terms of coordinating and making sure that all the parts mesh. That was Fickle's gift, was making sure that, you know, he didn't care if he got the credit. He just wanted to make sure that the defensive line, linebackers, and secondary were all in alignment. They all knew what they were doing, that they worked as 11 players. And that, I think that's been missing since Fickle left. I think it's back this year. And I'm not saying it's all Madison. It's probably a combination. But I think that's kind of been his role, is to be kind of the overseer in a way.
Offensively, Mike Yurcich, you got to like what he's doing, right? I mean, everybody says that maybe he's Ryan Day still running the show. But quarterback's coach works the closest with the QB. And, you know, a guy that doesn't get a lot of credit is running back's coach, Tony Alford.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Those guys are running hard.
He flies under the radar. They run so hard. And Master Teague, I mean, we've talked about Dobbins. He runs hard. He really looks good. What's your thoughts, Joey, on Master Teague?
Well, I like him.
There is some in-depth analysis, folks. And that's called your 1 a.m. analysis.
He's good.
He's very good.
Well, I mean, we've talked about him a little bit.
We're re-talking about it. As my kids say, we beat the horse dead here.
I don't know if we beat the horse dead, but I like him because he compliments Dobbins well. He's a bigger back. He does different things. For Dobbins today, I thought his cutting was better than he had looked in some of the previous games. He ran through a couple of big holes. And at the second level, was able to kind of make some nifty moves past guys that I thought looked good for him. Yeah. The Indiana game, I thought, was probably his best game, but this was close to me. And that's that same level of that kind of type of performance from him.
Yeah, he didn't have a touchdown, but that's not a reflection of his play at all. I thought he played great. I thought some of the 4-yard runs he had were.
And it's a good thing. Yeah, I agree. It's a good thing he is playing well, because Master Teague is like right there behind him. You can just sense, I mean, in some ways, just as explosive or more, just not as refined. I think Dobbins has a lot to prove.
It'll be interesting next year, assuming J.K. Dobbins goes to the NFL, which is likely for a junior running back who started for 3 years. But Master Teague's a very physical runner, and to have the zone read stuff with a primarily physical back, with the way Fields can get outside quickly, and have somebody be able to kind of eat up yards in the middle, will be kind of an interesting pairing for next year. To me, Fields, if you want to talk about runners, this might have been his best game as a runner at Ohio State, I thought, because you had the one touchdown he scrambled for, the 15-yarder, then there was a sweep play. I don't think that it's late, but I don't think they resulted in the touchdown. Do you remember the sweep play?
I was probably writing. It was the second half.
Yeah.
I was probably writing.
But we're like coaches. We haven't watched the film.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. But
it's so late, you know, staring at wallpaper here and seeing images and faces. So let me refocus here.
Here's the key stat for Justin Fields through 5 games. The key stat is 0, as in interceptions.
Yeah.
0 interceptions through 5 weeks.
16 touchdown passes.
16 touchdown passes. I think 7 rushing touchdowns.
Joey made a great point about the run. This is the most we've seen him run, the best he's run. He reminds me of, again, Terrell Pryor. But what really gets me is I still think Ryan Day is a pass first. I mean, when you really listen to him, he says the quarterback run is important. We're going to need it. But then he'll always say, but man, this guy's really throwing the ball well.
And I think Fields wants to be a pass first quarterback.
Yeah.
All quarterbacks do. First of all, you want to, you know, they're still killed.
I think that's how you ultimately are going to win, right?
That's where the money is.
That's where the money is. That's where you're going to win national titles. Last year, Clemson.
Yeah.
That kid. What?
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he can throw the ball. So you need a guy that can make the
I'll be curious to see when there's a game where it's really on the line and Justin Fields needs to be a physical runner, what that'll be like. I think he can.
I agree, yeah.
I mean, I don't have any questions that'll he can do interesting. It. But he's kind of tried to avoid that as much as possible wisely. And then one little tiny piece of criticism I'll have about Ryan Day, he left him in long.
Yeah, I think. What is that, like an NFL thing that maybe they just play they play your starter like
the
whole game?
He said he was well. Nebraska scored in the third quarter, and they drove again. I'm thinking, you mentioned that. The UCLA, Washington. There is no way in the world, no way in the world that Nebraska is going to come back to win this game.
No.
Well, we have talked about this. That he, so far, Ryan Day has avoided all kind of controversy and any kind of calamity that would like he would have to explain. Well, let me tell you, he leaves Justin Fields in the fourth quarter, and there's an injury. That's just going
to
blow up.
Well, I felt there were a couple times where the game was starting to get a little chippy, Nebraska.
Yeah.
There were,
yeah.
I think it was after
a late hit call.
Get your quarterback out of there.
And that's not – it's one thing to get a guy reps, but if the other team's getting chippy, all it takes is a late hit and he lands on his knee wrong, maybe steps off a curb.
Yeah. good, well played. I mean, the guy has 16 touchdowns to zero interceptions. I don't think he needs more reps now in terms of his passing.
What's the value of the reps at that point in the game when you're up by 35 points?
I don't know. Maybe that's a little holdover from the NFL, his NFL days.
Well, he said, I think that he said after the game that was something he might think of twice about doing. I think he's right to think twice.
He might start thinking three times.
Yeah, I just... So what's the benefit?
Let's take one more break, word from our sponsors, and we'll come back.
Hey, football fans. Leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score, because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked-to-order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce in jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
And we're back in closing. We'll conclude here. Final thoughts. I'll throw this out there, include this. Heisman. I know it's very early, but as we conclude about Ohio State, who do you like for the Heisman right now? We've talked about as a team, who are your top teams? I think it's usually going to be a quarterback lately. Oklahoma's dominated that, and maybe this year another Oklahoma quarterback probably is leading the field.
I actually like Joe Burrow from LSU. Do you know him?
Very funny, very funny. What's the inside joke there, Joey? Explain the inside joke.
The inside joke was when, I think it was last week, when Colin Cowherd asked Urban Meyer on his show if he knew Joe Burrow and why didn't he recruit Joe Burrow.
Yeah, how did he let him get away? Why did he let him go?
Urban Meyer responded by saying he played for us for 3 years.
Yeah, I had him 3 years. Oh, my gosh, Colin.
It is September still, barely. It is way too early to talk about the Heisman.
But we're going to talk about it. Who do you like?
Justin Fields.
Okay.
Look, all the stud quarterbacks for the stud teams are in the running. So
Tua from Alabama.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Probably
Trevor Lawrence.
Joe Burrow.
That's legit.
So there are five guys right off the bat. I think this is the year there's no question it'll be a quarterback. Just which one of those guys is left standing.
Not Chase Young?
I would say, a defensive, only what, one defensive player is one to think quasi-defensive player.
Charles Woodson. And he was some of that was special team stuff.
Right. And so a defensive player is not going to win it. But if you talk about impacting a team, Chase Young's in as much as about anybody.
Speaking of Nebraska, how close did Ndamukong Suh get?
You know what?
I don't know.
I had a vote that year. I think I voted him second, and I think I regret not voting for him for the first pick. I don't remember who won it that year.
I think it was Mark Ingram. Alabama. I think that was 09. Toby Gearhart was up for it. I think it was Ingram, and then Sue, and then Gearhart
Sue
from Stanford
won it that year. He was the best player.
So there you go. You're not going to win it as a defensive.
The only chance somebody like Chase Young would have would be if all the quarterbacks kind of split the vote somehow, and enough people think it should be that Chase Young was dominant enough as a defense player, he gets a slice of those people.
Yeah.
But enough.
We'll leave it at this. We're going to go. Can you imagine this defense if Nick Bosa had returned? Chase Young on one side.
Trayvon Jones, too.
Yeah. Specifically Bosa on one side, Chase Young on the other. Wow. They're pretty good even as is.
Well, one of the things that Ohio State this year's defense does have that they typically haven't is most of the guys did come back.
Right.
They didn't lose a ton of guys. Now, they didn't deserve those guys weren't ready.
They lost the guys they needed to lose, the coaches. Bada bing. All right. That's it from beautiful Omaha Courtyard Marriott. High ceilings.
You always keep throwing names of companies that don't sponsor us.
Well, maybe they'll start. Courtyard Marriott.
I only talk about Raising Cane's and I talk about Rosati Windows.
That's all you eat. That's all you look out of.
That's right. You don't know. You don't do anything else.
I don't just give.
You stare out the window at a chicken at a chicken restaurant.
This is explain some expensive things.
All right, we'll leave on that. Mrs. Kaufman's not going to be happy that we're making fun of her boy. So there you go.
I thought he got married. We didn't know.
No, well, we may not have. It could happen with this guy, mystery man. All right, thanks for joining us. Check us out the next time on iTunes.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated, hand-battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.